Good afternoon, everyone. It is time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are very glad you're joining us today. And it's going to be a fun day. We've got Betty coming on, Megan coming on, Nan's here in the studio too, and we've got a lot going on today on Living the Good Life. So it's a joy to be with you all. And I say that sincerely because I just returned from Mexico for the last couple weeks and ministering there, and I'll talk to you more about that as the show goes along. But it's always good to be home, and it's good to be back in this chair in the control room and doing the show once again. So my thanks to Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, to Nan and the whole crew that held down the fort while I was gone. I think, Betty, you were part of that group that held down the fort, weren't you there, my friend?
Yes, from afar, but I think everyone, you know, when the Holy Spirit has you joined together in one accord, everything just works so well.
It does, doesn't it? And, you know, we're quite a team. And with you and Megan and Cindy up in Indiana from my church up there, and this little gang here from Beacon of Hope, we make quite a good crew here, I think, you know, in all these years of ministering. In our ninth year on the radio, on this show every Sunday afternoon, and on Go Yard, our Thursday night show, we're in our second year. So there's been a lot going on, Betty, and we just give God the glory, don't we, of all that he's doing, so many answers to prayer, seeing so many lives changed, and just ministering to him is our joy, isn't it? It's fun. It's fun to be able to share the word of God with people.
Oh, it's so hard to put into words when you're able to minister under an anointing,
right?
That God gives us, and the grace that he allows us to work in, and his mercy.
Amen.
It's just a blessing to be able to bless people and know what God is doing in our lives and also in other people's lives.
Yes, absolutely it is. And, you know, we are so connected now globally. A couple years ago, we changed our email address, our prayers address and everything, even though the old ones still work. We now have prayers at bohmglobal.com, and that started about 3 years ago, I think, Betty. And it was kind of a foresight, I guess, into the future of where we were headed, and that God was going to expand this ministry globally, which he has done and is doing. Kind of a really cool thing, don't you think, Betty? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah.
Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties here in Indiana. Megan's trying to call in.
Okay.
But we're having our phones up here are just, they're acting up, and I know why, because I don't think that the enemy wants this show to go off today.
Right.
And I have some other words to say. Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, yes, we are.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And Megan, I do see you on the line. Are you there, Megan?
I am on. Hi, Pastor Marcia.
Hi there. Should I greet you in Spanish? I don't know.
Please do, but I won't understand.
Okay, buenas tardes todos. Yes. I seem to have spoken so much Spanish in the last 2 weeks that I am still waking up in the night dreaming in Spanish, which is pretty crazy. I don't know how that happens. Last night I was in my dreams walking the streets of Puebla, talking to people, talking in Spanish, all dreaming, all that. Woke up, thought I was in Puebla. You know, crazy. Maybe it's this cold that I have now or whatever it is that I got. It made me kind of crazy last night. I don't know, but or the cold medication. I don't know. But anyway, we'll talk more about Mexico, but it was an absolutely life-changing event for me, and I thank God for the opportunity that he gave me to go there and to minister in that ministry there, Nueva Esperanza. So we've got a lot to talk about today, but we've got a lot to celebrate. We celebrate the presence of the Lord and the fact that he is growing our faith and filling us up with faith, faithed up to overflowing. That's what it's all about. And Nan just joined us, so that's good too. She came in, and that's going to help if I get into a coughing fit, which we're going to believe God that I am not going to do. So, amen. Betty, would you start with prayer? That would be great.
Oh, yes. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we praise you and we thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your healing power that flows over Pastor right now so that she will be able to continue to be able to bring forth your word over the airways. And Lord God, we pray, we know that your word, when it goes out, it does not come back void. And as we talk about you today, Lord, we give you all the glory. We thank you for the Amen. Listeners that are listening in now yes. and later on to the show. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is going forth, and it's going forth with resurrection power.
Amen.
And as these days come up to Resurrection Day, Lord God, we ask that your power and your glory and your Holy Spirit minister to those people who need ministered to, whether it be through this show or through one of us, Lord God, or through our listeners, Lord God. Let them be able to talk and be able to share what God has done in their life. Let the test that the people are going through at this time be a testimony for your glory, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, now that any mechanical failures are gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord God, for the people that are able to participate in the show today and for our listeners who are listening in at this time. Lord God, we ask that you bless this show today. Give Marcia, again, resurrection power. Let us all be in one accord today, Father. And we ask amen. It in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. There you go, prayer warrior. You're just as powerful as ever. All right. That's great. We're going to be in Matthew 9, folks, if you want to find that. And we're going to kick this show off with one of my favorite songs, Awake My Soul by Chris Tomlin. It's got some great things to say. So, listen to it.
Of God. life into you, and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe away.
Awake my soul. Let's come alive, listeners. I love that song. I come alive. I come alive when you breathe on me.
You breathe out. I come alive. Your word gives life to my dry bones. Your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me. Make me a living stone, a testament to your throne.
Amen.
The only one who satisfies my soul.
Wow, I love that song. It just does revive you and remind you that the Word of God brings life to your mortal body. And if that same Spirit that dwells in us, that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in us, and then the Word says in Romans 8:11, it will bring life, resurrection life to your mortal body. We speak life to our listeners today that they will hear the Word today and understand it. Nan, you have something to share with us before we get back to Betty and Megan? Whoa, hang on. Let me get you, up here going. There
I
we
do.
Go.
There
All
I
right,
am.
There
okay.
you are. Okay.
I will breathe the freshness that you need to feel. I am here. The freshness you will feel is so very real.
Amen.
I resurrect you from the things that hold you down. You will move forward with me and ever abound.
Yes.
You will abound in the freshness that I have for you. I will move this way in your life. That's what I will do. So, will you look to me to do such a thing for you? You will never be the same. Difficulties, you'll make it through. I will breathe on you.
Ah, praise God. Megan, talk to me about that. That's a great way to start this show, isn't it?
Amen. Standing here listening to the song and then listening to Nan's poem, it makes me think of when we go through the season cycles here on Earth, when spring comes about, that everything comes to life because of water that waters the Earth. And it makes me think of us in our spirit, that that's what it means to come alive, is that our spirits are watered with the Word of God through his blessings, through his mercy, through his grace. But that all washes through us and makes us new. And we can make a complete 180 if we just allow that spirit to come alive in us.
Oh, amen, amen. And when we do that and allow that, you know, when we desire that, and a lot of times we find so many people don't desire that, Megan. I mean, what would you say to the person who says, I don't really understand what you're saying there, you know? How would you encourage them?
Well, I probably would encourage them by saying, have you ever tried something new? Have you ever tried something that you've never experienced? Because you don't know what it's like until you jump through the open door. And,
right.
You know, for me, it would be sharing testimonies of the things that I've gone through to show them that, you know, even despite the struggles that I've had in my life, that the Lord has always renewed me during that time. And coming out of those, I'm even more renewed in my spirit. I have even more hope. I'm even more vibrant than
Amen.
I was before.
Yes.
And that's what he does, is he lights us up. He lights fire down in us. And it just makes me, I could just get so riled up talking about it. Whew, it's mighty.
Woo! Okay, that leads us beautifully into Matthew chapter 9. Back in the boat, Jesus and the disciples, this is verse 1, recrossed the sea to Jesus' hometown, which was Capernaum. They were hardly out of the boat when some men carried a paraplegic on a stretcher, set him down in front of them. Don't you love how these opportunities just come to us? So many opportunities came to me in the last couple weeks, And this is one that came to Jesus. So amazing. Jesus, impressed by their bold belief, said to the paraplegic, "Cheer up, son. I forgive your sins." Some religion scholars whispered, "Why, that's blasphemy." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why this gossipy whispering? Which do you think is simpler to say, 'I forgive your sins,' or 'get up and walk?'" "Well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both." At this, he turned to the paraplegic and said, "Get up, take your bed, and go home." And the man did it. It does not say, and the man argued with him, Do you realize, sir, that I've been like this forever?" No, it doesn't say that. The crowd was awestruck, amazed, and pleased that God had authorized Jesus to work among them this way. Talk to me about this, Betty. This is an amazing event. A man that's a paraplegic has not walked for probably a long time. And what Jesus does, instead of immediately healing, he instead says, "Your sins are forgiven." And that really causes an uproar, doesn't it?
Yes. I think that they saw what he was doing, and I think they just couldn't believe it, that the Son of God was there in their presence. And I think that you get to a point where their religious spirits that were around at that time,
right,
the Sanhedrin and all of the
yes,
religious,
yes,
folk, so to speak, were there to condemn him.
Right.
It was prophesied back in the Old Testament that there would be people there that would see him as blaspheming, as they would see him as being someone that he wasn't, so to speak.
Right.
But I think when the paraplegic came up, his faith, he was faced up. He knew, I believe, in my spirit, that because word of mouth that this there's someone who can heal you.
Yes.
Let's see if we can get you there. Let's see if these men that were so diligent in bringing him, as there were other people, that they brought him to Jesus because he knew ahead of time.
Right.
Jesus knew ahead of time what was going to happen. I mean, to hear people whispering and gossiping, and then he explained to them, "I am the Son of God," or "I am the Son of Man."
Yes.
And how do you want to say this? Everything that happened, Jesus already knew was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Father had prepared him. Just as the Father prepares and the Lord prepares us.
Right.
For things that may be coming up. Something so much as a prayer, or that you're going to meet someone and you're going to be able to minister him. He's just preparing us,
right,
for what lies ahead. And I think that's what the Father had done with him.
Oh, I agree.
And they knew. He knew,
yes,
that if he could get to Jesus,
right,
that he had a chance to be able to get up and walk again. But Jesus, he didn't have to say a word, did he, Pastor?
No, he doesn't say a word.
"Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. Now watch this.
Well,
pick up your mat and walk."
And walk.
Walk.
And
walk.
I love verse 2 here, where it says, Jesus, impressed by their bold belief, said to the paraplegic, "Cheer up, son, I forgive your sins." You know, it's almost like Jesus was wanting to stir up stir the apple cart, or whatever you want to call it, stir up the hornet's nest, you know, here, don't you think?
Well, we were listening to a song by the Newsboys this afternoon. And Megan, you may have to help me with this. My brain's not quite as on tune as hers is. But it's talking about what kind of person that Jesus was. He wasn't a rebel, but he was a...
he was a radical.
Are you there?
Radical.
He was radical.
He was radical.
And he wanted to see what these religious, you know, philosophers or whatever they called themselves that were standing around watching him and trying to... they were trying to cause a scene.
Oh, they were trying to pick at him. Pick.
Jesus,
you know?
He put him in his place.
Yeah.
He put them in his place.
Yeah.
And told them, "Look, I am, look, you know, I am the son of man. I
right.
mean, probably just as calm as I'm talking right now. I am the son of man. It
Woo.
Can't get any simpler than this, people.
Yes.
I forgive your sins. Now watch this. Turn to the paraplegic and said, get up, take your bed and go home.
And there's no arguing at all from the paraplegic
no,
here. He just
none,
says,
none,
oh,
none.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay, all right, fine. Here, I'm out of here, you know. And then
wow,
I can imagine that going out and saying, but I remember you couldn't walk.
Right.
But I can now because
yes.
of Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen and amen. Megan, talk to us about all of that. Woo, it's good stuff.
You know, I just have to say, if Jesus, when he walked the earth, wasn't radical, he wouldn't have gotten people's attention.
That's right.
And
yes.
Know, because if it wasn't anything that wasn't less than amazing, then people would have just kept walking.
Right.
They would have just given, oh, it's just another one of those prophets.
Right.
Well, you know, that he still is radical. He still does things on a daily basis to try to get your attention.
Absolutely.
He wants
Amen.
Your attention. He wants
right.
to fill you with his Holy Spirit.
Right.
He wants you to walk this earth with your head held high, not hanging down in remorse. He wants to lift you up from the trenches that you're in, and he wants you to walk in faith, and he wants you to walk in grace. And, you know, that's what the paraplegic, when he said, pick up your mat and walk, he was healed.
Wow.
And, you know, we can receive the same thing, even though, it's you know, that happened several thousands of years ago. It still can happen today. Those miracles are still happening on this earth.
Well, absolutely. And that's why we have one of the reasons we have the Bible and have all these stories written out here, because as we read them, our faith does increase and we do get strength to go on through tomorrow to today, everything that we have to face. And it increases. We become that faithed up that we've been talking about for weeks as we read these stories and see what Jesus did. Yeah, he was radical. Yes, he had to get their attention, and boy, didn't he. And now let's talk about another radical thing he did. Let's go to verse 9 of Matthew 9. Passing along, Jesus saw a man at his work collecting taxes. His name was Matthew. By the way, this is the same Matthew that wrote the book of Matthew. And Jesus said, come along with me. Matthew stood up and followed him. Now, we know that tax collectors were not of good repute in Israel. They were kind of like, quote unquote, the man, you know, the person in authority, the person in authority. And a lot of the Israelites did not like them. They equated them with Rome and that heavy hand of Roman jurisdiction. And so a tax gatherer or tax collector, kind of the way some people feel about the IRS today, probably, I would imagine. But even, yeah, even worse, probably, because, you know, they were hounding them, you know. And so what happens here, Betty, in verse 10 and 11? Do you want to talk about that? Read it and talk about it, verse 10.
Yes, I'm in the Message Bible.
So am I.
Says, okay, good. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Later, when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came in and joined them. When the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit.
Woo!
And it lit into Jesus' followers. What kind of example is this from your teacher, acting cozy with crooks and riffraff?
Oh, yes. All right, let's stop right there. Let's talk about this. Because this is huge. This was a game changer. Again, Megan, your word here is radical. This is radical what's happened here. They did not expect Jesus to go have dinner in a tax collector's house. Talk to me about all this, Megan.
You know, it's because they thought that he was the holy one, so he should only hang with those that are holy.
Oh, yeah.
No, that wasn't the case.
Right.
It's because of that radicalness that, you know, he loves everyone.
Right.
It's not a specified person. You don't have to be of a certain class to, you know, to follow the Lord. It's
right.
Everyone.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure that it shook them up, and they thought, what is he doing? Why is he hanging with them? What is the matter with him? But that is how broad and how wide message love is it spans on every single person.
Amen. Don't you find it interesting that Jesus is willing to really break the society norm here in both of these first two stories in Matthew 9? He's not looking to make friends. He's looking to stir the pot up, Betty. You know what I mean? Talk about that.
That's what I think, that, you know, he wasn't sent to be the Kool-Aid guy. And I mean that.
The Kool-Aid guy. Okay.
The Kool-Aid, you know, the Kool-Aid. Everybody wants to be a Kool-Aid, you know, be friends with the Kool-Aid guy.
Okay.
And he was sent to do a job.
Right.
He was sent to save those that needed saved.
Amen.
And if the Pharisees were to be saved, so be it. But he was after the Matthews. He was after the riffraff, because he knew that they were living a life that was not pleasing to his father.
Right, right.
And he wanted to minister to those people because he knew that they needed him.
Yes.
That he knew that their lives could be better. And again, the father had prepared him. You know, it's just like Matthew just getting up, come follow me.
Right.
Matthew just dropped everything and followed a man that maybe he had never met or
right.
he had come into, because it was that power that illuminated from the Lord Jesus at that point that drew people to him. And I think even the Pharisees were astounded by what he was doing, even though they had a negative connotation in a lot of the scripture. They were still amazed. Amazed at what he was doing. Now, they would never tell you, we were amazed by you. It's just they had to be cynical.
Yeah.
And they had to be critical because of their so-called religious status. Because if it ever got back that, you know, they were out watching Jesus and they were participating, they would possibly be killed or crucified themselves. So they had to be the critical person standing in the church behind the pews saying, what is he doing now?
Right.
You know, and then talking amongst themselves. But if you remember, Jesus never let them have the last word.
Yeah.
He always had, I don't want to say have the last word, but Jesus always had a comeback.
He had a comeback.
He always had something to say that would, the vocabulary, he would dispute anything that they had to say, because he knew he had a purpose there and he had to get it done.
Well, while you were talking there, it reminded me of 1 John 3:8, the second part of that verse. And it says this: the Son of God entered the scene to abolish the devil's ways. In another translation, it says to undo. I believe in the New American Standard, the Son of God came to undo the works of the devil. And that word in the original Greek, undo, means to untie, to loosen. And so everything that Jesus did had a purpose. He was extremely intentional and purposeful, and of course, passionate about what he was doing and why he was there. But I love 1 John 3:8 when it says that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to undo or loosen or break the chains off of, to undo the works of the devil. So his goal was always to take a tradition, to take a way of thinking that they had and turn it upside down. Megan, turn it totally upside down. Talk to us about that. Abolish our traditions.
Absolutely, and totally flip people out as to what he was doing, because it always was one of those things where it would always leave a question in your mind is, why did he just do that?
Right.
And, you know, when he does that, he does that to me. It's like, why did you just do that? And to me, it's because he's teaching us through the Bible, teaching us of his ways.
Yes.
Of, you know, giving us that inquisitiveness of wanting to learn more.
Right.
Because, you know, if we want to be teachable, then we will learn more about his ways.
Amen.
By reading the Bible and seeing all of these miraculous things that he did while he was here, and learning about, you know, at least being somewhat like Christ.
Amen.
Seeing that radical person that will say, hey, I see you're hurting. Do you need prayer?
Right.
You know, it could be something totally different, but it's to show us that it's okay to be that person. It's okay to be radical, to reach out and help people.
Oh.
That's what he wants to do for us.
Absolutely. And what do you think, Betty, what's your take on the fact that he doesn't just say to Matthew, come along with me, but he goes to Matthew's house. And it says that a lot of disreputable characters came and joined them. I mean, come on, you talk about radical. Megan, your word is just is flying through all of this, don't you think? I mean, disreputable characters? Really?
Well, I think even today, I think that even those people, maybe they knew, they've heard a little bit about Jesus, and they wanted their chains removed, and they wanted to be upright citizens.
Yeah.
In that time period, and I think that the power that Jesus emitted from his persona,
yeah,
was love,
yes,
mercy,
yes,
and that they wanted to see.
Right.
What was going on, and maybe they had a come to Jesus moment or a surrender moment where, you know, the Lord had spoke to them and,
yes,
said, okay, hey, you know, you need to get to Matthew's house because there's something there that will help you, or there was something that will catapult you into victory, or it will increase your faith, or that man sitting at Matthew's house will forgive your sins.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
your sins will be no more. And it's just, I think it's just a persona that Jesus carried with him.
Yes.
That,
yes.
And another radical movement on Jesus's part is to watch these Pharisees and these hypocritical religious these people are watching him. I mean, they're watching him around every corner of everywhere he went.
Right.
And then he sees them go into Matthew's house with the tax collectors and all of the people that were looked down upon. He's like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing exactly what you said he was doing. He was going to forgive their sins. He was going to change their lives forever.
Oh, amen.
Like he will with us.
And what does that say about, you know, the day and time in which we live, Megan, where religious people, church-going people, a lot of times, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to church. We should, because we need the fellowship, and it says in the Word, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Assembly. Yep.
But what does it say about this whole societal thing we've got going on right now where people are, they're so critical. They're so judgmental. They just feel like the gospel is just for us four, no more type thing. Megan, talk to me about that, you know?
Yeah, it's very prominent nowadays. And even speaking from my own experience is when we lost Grayson in 2014.
Yes.
It was, I'll say this, it was probably seemed very radical to some people that I could be so okay with what happened. I could be so joyful. I could be so happy. I could carry on my life. And it's because a touch from the Lord is radical. Because,
amen,
if you surrender, you will have a radical awakening.
Yes.
And a lot of churches probably need that radical awakening because we can't be the ho-hum, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be a hypocrite, but I'm going to go over and do this. Well, that's not the Christ life. And, you know, we need to be the person that will step out of that mold that is currently going on right now in the churches and be that radical person to show through your own life how to be happy, how to be joyful, and to answer the questions. It's why are you acting that way? Why do you have this going on that yet, you know, you're in such a good mood? Well, it's because of the Lord. It's because I gave my life to the Lord. I let him in my heart. I am living his blessing.
Right.
And, you know, that's the stigma that's going on in the churches is that everybody has this idea of how you're supposed to act Well, there's not a certain way you're supposed to act, because you're supposed to act as the Lord acted, and that was loving, caring, compassionate, willing to pray for people. And, you know, I could just get on soapbox, Pastor, so I'm just going to let you
go
on.
Well, you know what, Megan, you're exactly right, and it reminded me of something that happened to you back at that time when Grayson passed away, that there were some religious people in your life that chose not to come to his service because of the fact that they were condemning of other people and one particular person being gay, and they chose not to be in the same room with that person. What are we talking about here, Betty? Talk to me about this. This is that religious spirit we're talking about here, mm-hmm. that judgment, you know, that condemning and thinking that because they were straight, you know, whatever, that they were perfect, that they could not lower themselves to be in the same room with a gay person. That happened a couple years ago, did it not, Betty?
No, it happened, and it was very discouraging because we were a part of something that we didn't want to be a part of. We wanted Grayson to live, but that was not the Lord's plan.
Right.
And when going back to the scripture, when Jesus walked in to Matthew's house, he had no discrimination.
Exactly.
He didn't say, well, this guy, and it's just say racial. There was no racial discrimination. There was no sexual orientation discrimination. There was nothing. All Jesus was there to do was to see people set free and to see people that they could see him through the eyes of love, because that's what Jesus does. He loves us.
Amen.
No matter. It's in today's society, we come back to that religiosity, that
yes,
religious
yes,
spirit.
Yes, we do.
That dwells in
You there?
Are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And there's so many religious people in structures that need to be set free. They need to know the love of Jesus, that they need to know and feel what Jesus felt. But, you know, when it's just like today, driving past a lot of churches, the parking lot should be full. They should be overflowing. There's not enough. There wouldn't be enough build.
Right.
Because they want. Seems like that with this religious spirit that it's keeping them.
Yes, it is.
From assembling.
It's been my experience, and you two can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's been my experience. And when people get kind of holier than thou, quote unquote, have this religious spirit that we're talking about, they are not walking in the love of God. I mean, when you look here at these verses, Jesus in verse 12 here of Matthew 9, he shot back at them. Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. Megan, can you comment on all of that? That verse is powerful.
I love that. I'm here to coddle what?
I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders.
Amen. Whew, that gives me goosebumps. You know, that's a scripture right there to show that he doesn't want the inside of the church to remain the same. He always wants it changing. And what I mean by that is he wants those outsiders to come inside the walls.
Amen.
And to feel welcome.
Yes.
To feel like they are
Amen.
A part of the congregation, whether it's their first time there or whether it's the 300th time they've been there. It always needs to maintain the same. And that's that, you know, we can tend to get that holier-than-thou aura about us.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We need to drop that, Pastor. We need to lay that at the altar.
Because oh, that's horrible.
Not,
yeah.
That
Amen.
Is not Christ-like. And, you know, I can speak from my own experience. I have tried so many churches, and it can be so upsetting to have attended a church and to walk in and you feel like you're a stranger, like that there are eyes on the back of your head constantly watching you. And
right.
It should not be that way. It should be as the Lord walking the earth, wanting to save those that are sick, not wanting to, you know, I'm just going to go hang with all the rich people over here. No. He walked this earth to make a change, and he still wants a change made today.
Amen. I want you guys to turn to James 2:12-13, and as soon as we come back from this song, we're going to talk about that and how that relates here. This is a song by the group Mike's Chair, Let the Waters Rise.
Don't know where to begin. It's like my world's caving in. And I try, but I can't control my fear. Where do I go from here? Sometimes it's so hard to pray when you feel so far away. But I am willing to go. God, I trust you. And there's a raging sea right in front of me. Wants to pull me in, bring me to my knees. So let the waters rise. If you want them to, I will follow you. I will follow you. Storm and the calm of the sea. You're never out of reach. God, you know where I've been. You were there with me then. You were faithful before. You'll be faithful again. I'm holding your hand. There's a raging
follow you. There's a raging sea sometimes in front of us, but I'm going to follow you, mighty God. Nan, what do you have there? Whoa. Sorry about that. Hang on a minute. Okay. I got to hit the wrong button.
That's okay. The poem that he just inspired is, do you really desire to be used by me? Do you really want to be used in ministry? Well, then you need to let go of all the negative thoughts within you. I have a ministry that I desire for you to do. You could impact right where you are. Do you want those around you to be free? For them, do you really have compassion and care? Well, then follow where I lead you to go. I will use you in great and mighty ways. Look to me for the direction that you need while you spend much time as you pray.
Amen. Amen. And that's what it takes. It's looking to him for that direction. Wow. Okay. And that takes us to James 2:12. Talk and act like a person expecting to be judged by the rule that sets us free. For if you refuse to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. Talk to me, Megan.
You know, that is just so, so true. Because, you know, you'll have people that come into your life that probably may not treat you too hot. They've probably done some things to, you know, hurt you. But that doesn't mean that what that scripture means is that we don't return that for that. We always return with compassion and with forgiveness.
Amen. Yes.
And what is it you say, Pastor, is to forgive someone? What's that saying you always say?
It doesn't mean that you agree with what they did to you.
Yes.
It just means that you let it go and that they don't owe you anymore.
Yes, absolutely. And that helps you heal. Helps you heal spiritually as well. Because if you're carrying that baggage around, how can you be the compassionate Christ-like person that you're supposed to be?
Right.
If you're carrying judgment about other people, it's unhealthy.
Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's what it's saying here. Betty, talk to us about this. And how does this apply back with Matthew in Matthew 9 and Jesus going to his home?
Well, I think that Jesus extended, you know, the hand of mercy.
Yes.
To the riffraff. I think he even extended a hand of mercy to the Pharisees because they wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to see, what is this Jesus doing? Why is he in this room?
Right.
Well, he's in that room for a reason. He's in that room to show these hypocrites and the sinners that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
That he's there because of love. He's there because of mercy, extending them that grace that we all hear and talk about. And only Jesus could do that at that point in time.
Right.
But in our own lives, I think that Jesus did not have any type of timidity when it came to telling people, I forgive your sins, when they didn't even have to say a word. He wanted to forgive those people, forgive their sins for those people that were in that room at that time in Matthew, because he knew that we have all sinned.
Right.
And he was there, Pastor, because he had a purpose there.
Absolutely.
And
yeah. And he wanted to show this mercy, don't you think?
Yes.
Because he
yes.
says here, I'm after mercy, not religion. And back in James, if you refuse to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. It says in Revelation chapter 12, 10 to 12, that the accuser comes and tries his best to heap condemnation on us. Romans 8:1 says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
No.
And the religious leaders wanted Matthew and his friends to feel less than. The devil always wants you to feel less than. Talk to me about that, Megan, because that's what the goal is. The devil's always doing that.
Absolutely, and it's always a game to him to see how much it takes for you to feel like that you don't get to be forgiven. You don't get to receive that mercy. And
exactly.
That's what we learn through scriptures like we're reading today. But that's why Jesus came to the earth. That's why he gave his life for us. So that we could be forgiven and that no man can put us under, no matter what they say.
Absolutely.
We are forgiven.
Jesus is all about mercy. And we see that in these stories. He's all about lack of judgment, lack of critical spirit, lack of putting people in their place, lack of discrimination. Jesus is not about singling people out and saying, oh, because you're a tax collector, I can't go to your house for dinner. In fact, he's like daring the religious leaders to say something about it, because he's going to do it just to make a point. Betty, talk to me.
Well, I think that one of the things that we've learned through you, through the Word of God, is the compassion. that Jesus had, and you could call it compassion of mercy, because Jesus didn't judge anyone, because judge lest ye be judged. That's what we do today, is we're so judgmental of people, maybe because of the clothes that they wear or the car that they drive or the house that they live in or whatever. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus' compassion was available to anyone that wanted it, that sought it. And he is a person who saw people, everyone, as an equal. He had his radical sayings. He had his radical movements. But I think in that time period, as it is today, is that we have to be radical. And he has, to be radical, he still had that level of compassion.
Absolutely.
Compared to nothing we could ever seek or obtain.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
I was preaching last Sunday night in Puebla, Mexico, and I got to a point where... where I was talking about how Jesus did not come to condemn. And John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the key. That's the door. If you want to get to heaven, if you want to be in heaven for all eternity, the key is that verse. And one more time, "For God so loved the world," okay? Doesn't say only loved the perfect people, only loved the straight people, or only loved the ones who made more than $40,000 a year, or anything ridiculous like that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the next verse, verse 17, I love it, and it says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Megan, talk about that, and then we'll get Betty's take on those two verses.
Well, you know, it really is an amazing thing to realize that God sent his only son here to show how much he loves and cares for us. And then he let him die. He watched his son die. And, you know, that speaks on so many levels. It's such a huge thing that, you know, to me, I couldn't imagine doing that. So, you know, for God to love us in the capacity that he does, no matter what we look like, no matter what job we have, no matter what kind of car we drive, we're all created equal in his mind because he created
Amen.
Us. And...
Amen.
That's what we need to realize, Pastor and Mom and Nan, is that all of us are the same.
Yes.
We all were created in his image.
Amen.
And, you know, and that's what's amazing. It doesn't matter the color of your eyes.
No.
Or whatever. We are the color of your skin, because he wants us all to have that eternal life. And that's why he sent his son, which to save us.
Amen. And, you know, I've got to throw this in there since we made the reference earlier to the person who wouldn't come to Grayson's memorial because of the gay person that was going to be there. Jesus said not one thing, zero, about homosexuality or anything like that. Jesus didn't even comment on it. If it was that kind of a deal breaker, he should have talked about it, don't you think? But instead, that subject is used across this nation to condemn people to hell with no real scriptural basis at all. And I think the bottom line of all this is Jesus says it right here. I'm after mercy, not religion. And I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. And a lot of times it's those religious people that want to be put on a pedestal of being so perfect and so right and all of that, when Jesus, that's not what Jesus taught. Talk to me, Betty. And then we're going to have to get to the break here in a minute. Go ahead.
Right. If you go up into James 5, it says, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently?
Ha!
He chooses the world down and out as the kingdom's first citizen. So that's what he was doing
right
in Matthew's house.
Yes.
Full rights and privileges.
Yes.
This kingdom is promised to anyone. Now, there's that one word.
Anyone.
Who loves God.
Woo, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It does not say whosoever except for this group, that group. Oh, my. We got a lot to talk about in the next hour, and we're glad you're joining us today. Betty, talk about the prayer line real quick, and then Megan, I'm going to ask for you to mention Go Yard and what we do on that show.
Well, one of the things that Jesus did a lot was pray, and he encourages us to do the same. And one of the things that we can do as believers is pray for each other. And the prayer line is available to anyone, whoever so wants to send a prayer request to bohmglobal.com or prayers at bohmglobal.com. The prayer warriors will go to the throne of glory for you. We will, if you would like to be a part of our prayer team, also send it to prayers at bohmglobal.com or to pastor at bohmglobal.com and be a part of a mighty move of God. We've heard a lot we sent out a lot of prayer requests. You know what? We're getting a lot of praise reports back, and that just blesses me, and it blesses those that know that God is still on the throne.
Amen.
In prayer.
Oh, he certainly is. Praise God. Megan, tell us about the Go Yard show that we do every Thursday night at 6 Eastern time.
Go Yard would be you as Mama Mac and Dr. Angel Falcone. Every Thursday night, you guys are live. Sometimes you have to have recorded shows, but you guys are live. And people can call in. They can text in. It's a live coaching, life coaching show. And you and Dr. Falcone really get down and talk deep about, you know, life issues that all of us deal with. And people need to tune in. Tune in, and it's an interactive show. It will bless your socks off. Just tune in and listen.
Amen. Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. Eastern, Go Yard. And it's been over a year ago now, we were privileged to become part of StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Every Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time, this show, Living a Good Life, plays again on StarcomRadioNetwork.com if you miss a show. And at noon on Saturday and Sundays, the Go Yard shows play. So that's an easy way for you to get involved and become a part of these shows. And, you know, we don't talk about money. We don't beg for money, nothing like that. We never have, and we never will. But if you would like to be a part financially, that's fine. Just go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage to donations. It'll open up a page where you can use PayPal if you would like to do that. So that's what's going on here, and that's how you access the prayers. If you're in our Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our Wednesday night gathering every Wednesday night, 6:30, and that is at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And Megan and Betty, are you both on, or do I need to? Betty, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Megan, are you?
I'm here. Joey hit the end button.
Okay. All right, because my thing is beeping. I wanted to make sure you were both on. All right, let's go to station ID, and then we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.